In this special episode of Meltdown to Mastery, we have renowned guest Timothy Doyle, who has embarked on an extraordinary spiritual journey delving into the intricate interplay between our conscious and subconscious minds and the profound aspects of manifestation. Join us as we unravel the mysteries of manifestation, exploring the depths of our innate potential. Tim sheds light on how unconscious patterns become imprinted within our light body, shaping our reality. As we navigate these concepts, Timothy delves into techniques for releasing fears and limiting beliefs that hold us back from reaching our true potential. Prepare to be enlightened as Tim shares insights about aligning with the divine, understanding our true purpose, and tapping into the essence of our being. Throughout the episode, Tim guides us through the stages of becoming co-creator gods, shedding light on potential pitfalls along the way. As an added bonus, Tim offers a powerful prayer for dismantling subconscious barriers to manifestation. By following simple steps that involve placing your hands on your navel and heart and sincerely reciting the prayer, you'll embark on a transformative journey toward alignment and greater manifestation in your life. Join us on a journey of self-discovery and transformation as we delve into the intricacies of manifestation and our role as conscious co-creators of reality. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Timothy.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So I'm excited about today's recording. We're going to go into mastering our purpose in life. And if you look at it simply, it's just to realize that we're co-creator gods, right? But there's so much more behind it.
It'd be my pleasure. Where would you like to start?
You say we're here training to be master creators, and that there's an aspect of realizing how our light body, our conscious mind, our subconscious mind, and all of that interplays into our realization and discernment we need when we have programs going into the subconscious mind, realizing that really that life is happening for us, not to us. So I just want you to expand on that. I mean, maybe we could start with explaining the conscious mind, subconscious mind, light bodies, and all of that.
Okay. When the soul is created, he's created in the image and likeness of God. And so all of God's characteristics are embedded in the soul's light body, but they're in the raw form. When the soul comes to earth, all these God characteristics are activated. And that's when the soul gets a conscious mind, a subconscious mind. And the purpose of coming to earth is the soul comes to earth to serve God out of love. That's their purpose. They love God so much, they want to be a servant to God. They want to train to become a co-creator God. And they want to assist in the oneness of creation. Jane, there's over 400 billion galaxies out in our universe. And in our one galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, there's over 300 billion stars. And so our solar system is just one solar system out of 300 billion. So the coming here is a training. It's training. We're training to become co-creator gods. And what we have to do is the soul has never created before coming to earth. They, like the animals, they were guided by the heart of God, which is his instincts. And so when they come to earth, their conscious mind is activated. And so now they're in the form as they can create. And never before has the soul been able to create. So the soul comes here, and when they come here, all previous memories of their accomplishments are erased so that the soul relies on connecting internally to his higher self, to the oneness of creation. There is no one God. There is no one God in charge of everything. The Catholic Church says, oh, Jesus is the Son of God. No, that's not true. There is no life form more valuable than another life form. All God's creation, whether it's the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the human kingdom, the insect kingdom, and the human kingdom, they're all equal. And so our purpose here is to learn to develop wisdom through trial and error. We have free will. We can decide what we want to do. We can try this. We can try that. But if we abuse anyone else or abuse any of the other kingdoms, we create a karma. And that karma is registered in our subconscious and also carried into our light body from lifetime to lifetime. When they first come here, they know nothing. They have no security. They're by themselves. And usually there's three stages of soul development. When a soul first comes here, they operate out of the ego stage of soul development, which is me, 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 me. They do everything for themselves. They're abusive. They want power. They want greed. They want money. They want to fulfill their sensual. And then eventually, through trial and error and through the law, cosmic law of cause and effect, what you do to others will be done unto you. The soul learns through life experiences that when they abuse another, they get abused. So it's not like it happens right away. Most of the time, they don't even make the connection. It takes many incarnations for the soul to make the connection that, oh, I did this and now I'm getting repaid for it and so forth. We all know that it's wrong to kill. How do we know that? So we don't remember what we've done in our past incarnations, but what we do remember is the wisdom that we learned. And that's the purpose of each incarnation, is to learn wisdom. And when we learn wisdom, we're coming in, creating our own God consciousness as becoming a co-creator God.
Describe wisdom as a word in the subconscious mind.
Well, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. So eventually, you know, why we're in a third dimension body is things move faster here. When you're in the seventh dimension of our spiritual development, when you say, let there be light, it happens instantaneously. And down here in the third dimension, things move a little slower. So sometimes we do things and we don't think it out. Then when we do think it out, we say, oh, I wish I didn't do that. And so we have the opportunity to alter what it is we want to do. Now, the subconscious mind, the purpose of the subconscious mind is to store everything that the conscious mind tells the subconscious mind that it's a truth. So the conscious mind can only hold one thought at a time. You can only be thinking about your horse, and you can't be thinking about your daughters. You think about one or the other. So what happens is, as you, the conscious mind, observes and watches things, it picks up on wisdom, or it says, no, that's not a truth. I'm not going to file that into my subconscious mind. So eventually, what happens is the soul formulates things and they put them into the subconscious mind, and it may not be a truth. For example, back in the 18th century, the Catholic Church did a law saying that if you didn't believe Earth was the center of the solar system, then that was a sin. And if that's a sin, then, you know, you're not going to go to heaven, God's not going to love you, and so forth and so forth. So everyone believed that the Earth was the center of the solar system. Well, we know now that's not true. So there's a lot of things our parents, our government officials, our teachers, our friends, they'll tell us something and we believe it to be a truth. In reality, it's not a truth. So we put things into our subconscious mind that are not truths. And when it's in the subconscious mind and it's not a truth, it goes to our light body. The light body and the conscious mind are connected. I was doing a ayahuasca drinking in Peru back in, I think it was about 2004. It's a ceremony. It's in Peru. Well, it can be any place, but I was guided to go to Peru. The ceremony starts at 8 o'clock at night. At 9 o'clock, you drink the ayahuasca, which is a shamanic drink that is the tastes like oil, dirt. And once you drink it, 20 minutes later, you go into, remember leaving my body. I just know I traveled to my consciousness. And you visit your mother, your friends, you'll visit places to observe. And then after, 3 hours afterwards, after you drink this ayahuasca, you get a gift. The goddess ayahuasca will give you a vision. And the vision usually has something to do with what is on your mind at the time. So I don't know if I was thinking about this or not, but the vision they gave me was a light body, and the body was nothing but filaments of light in the shape of a body. That's why I call it a light body. And so on these filaments, there were little globs, a glob here and a glob here and a glob here and a glob there. And what these globs were doing is preventing the body from vibrating to a higher frequency. And so what needs to be done is you need to take these globs off of your light body so that you can vibrate higher. And when you vibrate higher, your dreams and desires will manifest much quicker. So there's a prayer on the website called the Prayer to Remove Emotional Parasites. And you say this prayer and instantaneously, any fear you have will be removed. The fear is gone. So that is the purpose of the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind does not validate anything the conscious mind sends to it. It just files it. So whether it's wrong or not, subconscious mind doesn't care. It just knows that it's filing it for the conscious mind. Conscious mind sent it to me, so I'm going to file it. Now, the subconscious mind also has a role to play with the universal mind. When a soul is manifesting something, let's say that a soul wants to build a house and he doesn't have enough money. He doesn't think he has enough money. He needs a bank loan. He's got a wife and family, and she's working and he's working. They're applying for a bank loan. So it's their intention to get a house loan, and they work towards that. Now, if there's any doubt in their mind that the loan will not be approved, then the loan will not be approved. What happens is universal mind says, you are there to learn to be a co-creator God. You must believe when you want something, it's going to manifest. So people who have doubts about their dreams and what they're working for, they cannot have any doubt whether it's going to be manifested or not. But also, their intention, universal mind, along with the subconscious mind, will look at the soul's intention. And the intention is, I want a home for my wife and family so that we can live comfortably and I can provide them with an education and a safe haven for them to grow up and exists. So knowing that that is a loving intention and they have faith that the loan's going to be approved, the loan will be approved. Now, if the loan isn't approved the first time, change banks, because sometimes the person involved is not getting a kickback, but if their intention is good, seek a second choice. So as long as your intention is loving, and you know that you're a co-creator God, then your dream will manifest.
So the globules on the light body are fear thoughts or subconscious programs that need to be released.
Removed.
Yeah, removed, so that we can manifest. Because otherwise there's this fear or not belief that kind of infests.
Well, remember now, If the conscious mind can only hold one thought at a time, and if you're thinking about a fear, you can't be thinking about creating your reality. So you can't go wishing back and forth. Oh, I want this house. Oh, but what if the bank doesn't give it to me? Oh, but I want this house. Oh, what if the loan's not approved? So you got to have to remove those fears and those unhealthy feelings from your light body. And again, the prayer to remove emotional parasite will remove them instantaneously. You'll vibrate at a higher frequency when you do this, Jade. Now, it works better. Do you have a fear that you would like to remove? You don't have to tell me. You don't have to share it.
Okay. I'm holding it.
Okay. So you put your left hand on your solar plex. Do you know where your solar plex is?
Yes.
Right. It's above the navel. So put your left hand on your solar plex. What we're going to do is take that fear off your subconscious, and we're going to move it up to your heart energy. So your left hand's on your solar plex, your right hand on your heart. All right? You need to think. The conscious mind holds one thought at a time. You may have 100 of these fears, so we have to identify the one you want to remove. So what we need to do is for you to identify what fear you want to remove. Let me know, are you ready? This feeling is not mine. This feeling does not belong to me. I release this feeling in love, now and forever. Amen. All right, Jane, try and find that fear, hon.
It's definitely not there.
I know.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I know. It's very simple. And that's probably what I try to do. It's share that, because a lot of people live in fear. And if they could just do one little prayer, do that prayer to remove their fears, the whole world would vibrate at a higher frequency. And the person would vibrate at a higher frequency, and they can share it with their wife and children.
Yes, because these fears are often laying there. Like you say, these globules on our light body, and we're not really aware of them. They could be from subconscious programming from when we were children, or something that happened to us that has created this fear. But that's what I love when you talk about discernment and not allowing it to turn into that fear or become that globule, right? Because we can choose to see it in a different way.
Well, see, what happens is a lot of people don't know they have these in their light body. So let's say, for an example, that someone goes for a loan, and all of a sudden, the bank manager says, we're looking at your credit score. First thing they think is, oh, no, I'm not going to get the loan. They have a fear comes up. Maybe their parents were rejected for a loan application or something like that. So that fear might have been handed down from a parent or a relative or a story like that, and they pick it up and believe that to be true. So they just need to get rid of that.
Just to become aware of it.
Yes. See, when I first learned about this back in 2012, I took it home in my meditation. And first of all, I got the vision in 2004 from the ayahuasca. Then I was in Sydney, Australia in 2012 at a spiritual conference, and Thoth came through, the god of Egypt god. So he came through and explained this prayer. So I took it home, and I was working with it in my meditation, and I was being guided by the Arcturians. Now, Arcturians are seventh dimension beings, and they're the masters of emotions. And so they would tell me that these emotions are parasites, that if you have a fear, what they'll do is they're actually a living orgasm, and they will affect your thinking. And they do not want to be removed from your light body, because these fears believe that's their purpose, is to prevent you from becoming spiritual. That's what they have been told, and that's what these parasites believe. That's their purpose, is to keep you from becoming spiritual. So a lot of times I will ask someone, do you want to remove this fear and so forth? And they go, oh, no, fears are good. Fears are good. Fears are healthy. You need to have fears. Well, God doesn't have fears. God's not afraid of anything. So what it is it's kind of hard when someone locks their feet in to say, no, fears are good, that you're going to convince them, because it's like, okay, you just believe what you want to believe. But those who want to remove these fears, be aware that these parasites will interfere with your thinking to say, there's no need to remove them. I'm not harmful. I don't come up in your life that often. I'm not bothering you and such. And they'll come up with a thousand excuses why they do not want you to say this prayer to remove emotional parasites. So at first, it was just a prayer to, I forget what the prayer was initially. And then I had to change the prayer to remove emotional parasites, because it really makes you aware of how these parasites are actually feeding off of you and preventing you from your spiritual development.
Interesting. I feel fears keep you in a loop, right? They stop you from progressing.
Exactly.
So it's important to recognize them. And I love this spiritual prayer. It's very empowering.
Very simple, very quick, very easy, as long as you put your hands in the place and feel the fear you want to remove.
So can you expand on intent? Because I think that's very important to understand as well.
Well, intent just means the greatest good for the greatest number. So in other words, if I want to get a promotion at work, that's my intent to get a promotion at work. I may try to discredit other people, saying, oh, that person over there who's my competition, his work is sloppy and her work is sloppy. So my intention is selfish. It's not for the greatest good, for the greatest number. Your intention always has to be what is best for the situation, regardless of how it affects you personally. So if I really want a promotion, I'll just work as hard as I can, do what I'm told, and hopefully I'll get promoted. But if not, that's okay, because the universe, if people have to realize that if the universe doesn't give you what you want immediately, it's because they have something better for you. You just have to just understand that, let's say you don't get the promotion, and you find out that the person who got promoted maybe not be the best person. And then that changes your mind about working for that company. And then you go to another company. They love you. They promote you. They embrace you. They appreciate your intelligence. So just because you don't get something is a sign from the universe that there's something better for you someplace else. So just be confident. And just be aware and pay attention to your thoughts and feelings. See, the universal mind, I call it God consciousness, is always connected to the soul in every moment. Every thought, every word, every deed, every intention are recorded in the soul. So the universal mind knows what you want, what you desire, and so forth. It may have other plans for you. And so you just keep working towards what it is, and the doorway will be open to what it is that you'll change your plans. And maybe you don't want to work there anymore, and you want to go into business for yourself. So you just do the best you can in every moment and pay attention to your thoughts and feelings. Because God consciousness talks to us in every moment.
And going right back to paying attention to the emotions and fears that might be blocking the outcome.
Well, you see, that's very good, Jane, because when you become aware of fears and unhealthy feelings, get rid of them right in the moment. When I started this back in 2012, and I took it in my meditation, and I said, oh my goodness, this is crazy. So I started working with it. And as a fear or unhealthy feeling arose in me, I would just remove it. And it got to the point where, you know, first couple of weeks, I would do a prayer maybe 10 times a day. And maybe by the third week, I would only do it three or four times a day. And now I barely do it. And you can do that prayer. It's so easy and so fast. You don't have to say it out loud. All you have to do is have the intention to remove what that fear or that unhealthy feeling you want to get rid of. But you just put your hands in place, think about it, and silently say the prayer, and it will be gone. Now, that is a powerful thought you just had there, Jane, because a lot of people will deny that they are a co-creator God. They think, oh, no, I couldn't possibly be a co-creator God. But it's true. And this is Earth is a training facility. And how do the elephants and the tigers and the lions and the bears and all these plants and insects come here? They're contributions from all the star nations from our Milky Way galaxy. They left a representative of their solar system on our planet so that we can learn and monitor who it is. We can see in an elephant, we can see an elephant do something, and that an elephant has feelings by protecting its child. We have feelings too, and they nurture, and do we nurture? And we can learn from the animal kingdoms, bird kingdom, and the insects kingdom, and so forth.
A couple months ago, I had just this revelation or thought that came. You know how they come without you thinking, they kind of come. And it was like, oh, you know what really matters is how we treat animals. That's what really matters when God sees us. And it just felt so true, because many, many go through life thinking it doesn't matter, but it might matter more than anything else.
Well, animals have feelings. And so if we abuse any of God's kingdoms, the minerals, the plants, the animals, the human kingdom, we create karma for ourselves. And the karma is stored in our subconscious mind and into our light body. And then from carnation to carnation, it is stored from our light body into our physical body, which is the reason why some people are born with a birth defect, or they develop something later in life that is a reflection of what they've done in a previous life that they were abusive. Now, the universe will never give us something we cannot handle. So if we have something taken away from us physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, it's because we can handle it. It's like, okay, I'll do the best I can with what I have, and we move forward.
Another thing that you kind of confirmed at the beginning was, I remember sitting in church at a really young age, maybe 4, and thinking, we got this all wrong. When we make Jesus Christ a God and greater than us. And my thought at that time was, no, we're all equal gods. And it's not often confirmed.
You know, you were very smart at 4 years old.
Kind of, I guess. Well, that's a memory I came with, I think.
That, well, when a person embraces that they are a co-creator God, and that's their purpose here, and embrace that, their whole dreams and desires will manifest quicker. Because the universe will support them.
And it's the reason we're here, is to wake up to that again.
Exactly. Now, what we have in our spine is an antenna. And along our spine, we have 22 sets of chromosomes, basically amino acids. And they're located up and down the spine. When you're happy and you're feeling good, you activate about 90% of those chromosomes. And by activating those chromosomes, you vibrate a message out to the universe that, hey, you know, here I am. I'm happy. Here, I've got some dreams. I've got some desires. And the universe will support you. And it will synchronize events to bring your manifestation, what it is, your dreams and desires, into manifestations. However, if you're not a happy person and you're gloomy and you're grumpy all the time, you're only going to activate maybe 10 to 15% of those chromosomes. And what happens, there's no signal. You're not signaling the universe that, hey, bring me my dreams and desires into manifestations, because the universe is not hearing you. You're not vibrating at the highest frequency to get the universe, their attention, to synchronize the events in your life to bring them into a reality.
That's why when you feel like that, things unfold very easily. And we've all been there where we feel like we're in the flow. But then something happens where we're triggered in the subconscious and that fear gets back in the way. And we probably shut down again. And then the flow goes away and we have to recapture it.
Well, not for me.
Not for you.
Not for me. I'm pretty much know what I want and when I want it and so forth. So it does for anybody else. Yes, it could be like that, Jane.
Well, you've mastered it, right? And that's why you say mastering your purpose.
Well, if you ever say you're better than someone else, the universe will give you an example or an experience that, you know, makes you more humble. I've seen it so many times where I'm the best fighter in the world and I can ski jump and I never fall down when I ski jump. And next time the guy ski jumps, he falls down. It's like, it's an ego thing that the universe always has a check and balance. The person speaking humbly and with humility and compassion to everyone. So I'm just fortunate that I am where I am. I'm fortunate with my mind, my brain, my connection with spirit and everything. Very fortunate.
Yeah. And humbleness is important. I mean, we do come in, like you say, with amnesia. And so there's so much to learn.
So much to learn.
But what you're talking about too is the universal laws and principles, aren't you? It's like you're saying harmony and balance in all of this. And then there's order and unity when you're thinking of the good for all.
Well, it's always for the good for all. God always wants the best for everyone. And that needs to be our conscious awareness. We want the best for everyone, not just the best for us, the best for everyone. So you've got the universal law of cause and effect, that what you do to another will be done unto you. And through cause and effect, you learn not to kill, not to steal, not to rob, not to be abusive, not to be selfish, not to be this, not to be that, but to be everything else, loving, compassionate, helpful, togetherness, and oneness, and so forth. Now, there's another very important law, the law of forgiveness. The law of forgiveness is that we all have abused someone. In all of the thousands of lives we've had, we've abused someone. That's like, you have to. I mean, it's like that's part of your training. You abuse it. You know it's wrong. But what happens is that abusiveness is registered in your body at a cellular level. And so if you don't go to forgiveness, then you'll always maintain that negative, abusive cellular level energy that will cause you to constantly repeat situations in your life. For example, let's say back 1,000 years ago, I stole some money. And it's recorded in my subconscious down at cellular level. And so each time, now I've learned that it's wrong to steal. But each time my next incarnation, someone steals from me. You know, I call the police on them, I curse them out, and so forth and so forth. And my next incarnation, someone steals from me again. I curse them out, I call the police, I have terrible words about that person, and so forth. Next incarnation, they steal from me again. So it's not the same person. It's just an event that if someone's the universe will say, well, this person's going to steal. So who has to learn a lesson? oh, Tim Doyle has to learn a lesson, so we'll have this person steal from Tim Doyle. So until I go and forgive this person for stealing from me, then my sins won't be forgiven. When I forgive that person, then the imprint at cellular level within my physical body is removed. And that is what will create longevity in the body. Eventually, we're all designed to live forever. That's a little difficult to explain, Jane, but I don't know if you want to take the time to explain it or not.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think that when you're holding that as well, it must cause like physical pain.
They taught me this about maybe about 9 months ago, altar behind me, and I would get up and do prayers for the prayers of thanksgiving for what I have in my life, my wife, my finances, my work, and so forth. And then what it happens is a long time ago, back in 1989, I was walking in the middle of the night. I felt someone standing behind me. Now, middle of the night, I'm walking at 3 o'clock in the morning, pitch black country road, no lights, and very quiet. And I feel like someone is standing right behind me. Feeling was so strong, I had to turn around and look. And when I turned around to look, I expected to see someone, and I didn't see anyone. So I continued my walk, came home. This was a Sunday morning. And Monday night, my boys were getting ready to go to bed. And my wife then said, I think we need to talk to the youngest one. I go, why? She says, well, when he goes into the bathroom and looks in the mirror, he thinks he's going to see someone. I says, oh, okay. I know what happened. So at the time, I had a green room, a healing room that I would do meditation classes in. And I'd take my boys and have a talk there in the green room. It was my healing room. And so I took them up and I sat them down across from me. And I said, Dustin, I'm going to say this prayer. Let me know what happens. Now, I didn't know what was going to happen. It's just a prayer that was given to me to protect me during my meditations, when I start meditations. And so he sat down, and so I started the prayer. When I finished, he said, it's gone. I says, what do you mean it's gone? I didn't even have a chance to ask him, how did he feel? He says, it's gone. I says, what do you mean? He says, well, when you started to pray, he says, I could feel it, this energy spiraling up out of my head. He said, it's gone. I feel fine now. I'm okay. I says, okay. So I was taught, this is how my teachers teach me, is that to put two and two together, that the prayer protection will remove any trapped soul that's in your environment. Now, a trapped soul is a soul that at the time of their death, they don't want to move on. They love their family so much. They love their wife. They nurture their grandchildren. They feel that the family cannot survive without them. So they have free will. So they choose not to go forward, and they stay behind. But once a soul becomes trapped, they're trapped. I mean, they're here until someone releases them, and the prayer protection will release you. So it was the universe's way of teaching me how to use this prayer protection to assist trapped souls. So what I do periodically, I'll say this prayer to open up a gateway for trapped souls. If they want to move to the next level of soul development, I'll say the prayer protection. Most of the time, I feel the energy spiraling through me. Sometimes I don't. So it's just hit and miss as far as I'm concerned. But what I noticed was, is when I do prayers for people, when I get through with a prayer, I get a sigh that comes from me. And the sigh, Jane, is like I'm releasing something. And it's like, what's going on? I only do this, get this sigh when I say a prayer to help someone. And so, I've done this 100 times. And the only time I get the sigh is when I'm saying a prayer to help someone. So I thought, this is crazy. And then my teachers were telling me about what I was doing is releasing this cellular level karmic abusive imprint in my body. And I was just releasing it little by little. So I got into the habit of, before I go to bed, that I would say a prayer. First of all, I talked to my angels. See, your teachers and your angels cannot help you unless you ask for their assistance. This is a free will training school. So they cannot interfere with our learning unless we ask them. So each night I ask my angels to assist me in going to sleep quicker and not to have any negative dreams. And then I'll do a prayer for someone, leave my mind open, and whoever appears in my mind, I'll say a healing prayer for them, the prayer of protection for them. And when I get through with it or through the prayer, I'll get this sigh. So, and that's the only time I get the sigh. It's releasing any negative cellular level abusiveness I've done previously. And it's just clearing my my light body and my cellular physical body.
You're talking about forgiveness in some way, right? So is it that there's that connection and that you're feeling it in your own body?
Yes, it's a connection. I'm releasing, I'm forgiving all these people. I don't know who they are and so forth. I just ask them for forgiveness for them. It makes no difference who you're forgiving. The fact that you are forgiving, that your heart is open and you're forgiving, you're in that God state of forgiving, having compassion for someone. Ooh, not forgiving or thinking that someone doesn't deserve it. They're putting judgment on who you're forgiving or what love or compassion you're giving to anyone. You don't have to do it in front of 100 people. You can do it in your bed at night going to sleep.
I have one other question. Do you think Jesus did come here to teach us exactly what you're talking about?
Well, Jesus is just like you. You're a little girl. You realize at an early age that we're all gods. That's what he was doing. He was just teaching what he knew, his wisdom. Yeah, well, I say he wasn't anyone special, not to be saying he's the only son of God or anything like that.
He was aware.
Very aware.
And then we distort it.
That was the Catholic Church, was a way that the Catholic Church could control population, especially the female energy, to make the male more powerful. And the female energy is subordinate to the male energy and so forth. That's all a ruse. The Catholic Church actually believes that Lucifer, Archangel Lucifer, is God. And Jesus is Lucifer's son. Now, I've got a video of, I think it's back in 2014, where they're at Easter Sunday and they have this announcement in Latin and they translate it and so forth. Part of this training, Earth, is that we're here to train. And Archangel Lucifer, who is an angel of God and works for God, his role is to tempt us. And he will do everything in his power to keep us from becoming until we learn to rise above it, discipline ourselves, and we become co-creator gods. Archangel Lucifer is known as the bringer of light. So he brings light into the soul when he tempts them. And the soul overcomes his temptations and the soul comes into light. So what Lucifer will do is, if you sell your soul to Lucifer, he'll give you power, money, whatever you want, status. All you have to do is sell your soul and make sacrifices to him. Usually the sacrifice is a loved one or a blood sacrifice of a child or something like that. So that's the price you pay when you are sell your soul to Lucifer. And a lot of people in Hollywood have done this. In fact, almost everybody in Hollywood. There's a few that haven't. But if you probably know that those who hang around together are have sold their soul to Lucifer.
Yeah, you actually see a lot of that today. And what is the purpose of that? It seems that a lot of politicians, famous people, we're seeing a lot of it. And it's becoming to light. Like before it was pretty hidden, but now you can see it.
You know, what's happening now is everything's being exposed. All the corruptions and all the people hiding, it's being exposed. It's just being exposed. Yeah. And if Donald Trump becomes president, more is going to be exposed.
And it seems that the worship of Lucifer is feeding into ego, not caring about others, doing only for the self. It's almost the opposite of what you're talking about. But you're saying that is it a path to the light? And so it's almost a play on words.
Well, the soul doesn't realize the big picture. It's only interested in the money, the greed, the power. Yeah, give me that. Yeah, let me be popular. Let me be king of the gang. Give me the money and so forth. Not realizing how they're being used by Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Not aware of it.
Lucifer is like ego in that he's there to stop you from becoming who you really are.
Well, he doesn't want to stop you. He just wants to tempt you so that you learn by disciplining yourself, that you're developing discipline and discernment, whether you want to do that or not. You grow stronger when you use discipline and discernment to say, oh man, that money's very easy. I could steal that money and no one would see me. Or no, that's not the right thing to do, and so forth. So he'll make it kind of easy for you to break your ethical standards, and he'll just want to see what you'll do and what you won't do.
Right. So it becomes a longer path.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. It's such an interesting conversation. Thank you so much, Timothy.
My pleasure, Jane.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There is one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my Linktree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.